Good morning. Boy, it is a wonderful day. It's great to see everybody here. If you would join me in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're bringing our season of Thanksgiving, or our series, I should say. We're always in a season of Thanksgiving, but bringing this series to a close next week. And it's been an awesome series, especially at least one of my favorite parts, I should say, has been that banner that we have out in the foyer where people have been for this whole series writing things that they are thankful for. And I read that every week and I try to figure out what's new and what was already there, but it is just such a blessing to me to be able to see how the Lord has worked in everybody's life. And if it's a blessing for me, it's been a blessing for others as well. I'm not unique in that. And so when you write something on that banner, you are doing more than just expressing thanks. You are giving an example of how the Lord has worked in your life. And people read that and they're encouraged. And so if you haven't done it, or if you've done it every week, I still want to encourage everyone before you leave, try and write something on that yellow banner. Try and list something that you're thankful for. We have so many blessings in this life. We couldn't list them all, but we are making an effort at least. Well, that's out there. We're in here. And we're in 2 Corinthians 9. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks always for all the blessings that you send down. You know, your word says in James that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father above. So, Lord, we give you thanks for every gift. And as we look to your word now, which is in itself a gift of your expression toward us, we pray that you would be with us, that you would guide us. We pray that this message, that this portion of scripture we're about to look at would be uplifting and edifying, and it would strengthen our faith. But ultimately, Lord, that we would be brought into a deeper season of thanksgiving to you as we reflect on everything that you do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, every week we talk about the importance of sharing the gospel, don't we? It's even in our mission statement right here, to know Christ and to what? Make him known. That's right, to take that message out into the community. But if you're like a lot of people, you might have asked yourself the question, what can one person do? How much difference, how much impact can one person honestly make? I'm just one man. I'm just one woman. I'm just a voice among millions. What difference can I make? A lot of people ask that question. And the truth is, one person can make a lot of difference. You can have a huge impact. One person can change the world, even if you can't see it at the time. Has anyone here ever heard of a man by the name of Edward Kimball? Edward Kimball lived back in the 1800s. It doesn't surprise me if nobody's ever heard of him. He's not a famous man by any means. But Edward Kimball changed the world. He was a Sunday school teacher of a very small group of young men, adolescent, late adolescents, early 20s, somewhere in that age range. And he was leading them every week in their Sunday school lesson, but he noticed there was one particular young man in this group he couldn't reach no matter what he did. The message didn't get through, the man wasn't responsive, and so Edward Kimball felt that conviction, and he went to the young man's place of work, and he decided he'd have a conversation. So as this young man is stocking shelves, here is Edward Kimball giving him a conversation on faith. And by the end of that encounter, the young man confessed Christ and came to the faith. His name you might have heard of. It was Dwight L. Moody. Dwight Moody would go on to preach to thousands and thousands of people. There are books he's written, schools, the Moody Institute in Chicago, named after Dwight Moody. But it doesn't stop there, because Dwight Moody held a service where another young man by the name of Wilbur Chapman came to faith. Wilbur Chapman, probably you've never heard of him, but he also became an evangelist. He would go on to preach to thousands of people and hold revivals and services. And at one of his services, another young man came to faith. His name you might have heard of, Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday became a believer and held more crusades and more revivals and preached to more people. And at one of his services, a man, a businessman by the name of Mordecai Ham, came to faith. Mordecai Ham picked up the torch of evangelism. He held revivals and he held services. And at one of his crusades in North Carolina, a tall, young, slender man who just days before had been an unbeliever came forward and confessed Christ. That young man's name was Billy Graham. Billy Graham would go on to preach to more people than any other evangelist in the history of the world, including the Apostle Paul, who wrote the words we're about to read. I would be willing to bet, if you went back in time and talked to Edward Kimball, that he asked the question, am I making a difference? He has this small group of young men, one of them he can't even reach without going to his work, and he's wondering, am I actually making a difference? Am I having an impact? But that's kind of how it goes, isn't it? We give our lives in service to the Lord, and we let and watch Him work through our lives, and when that happens, there is no telling what He can do with an obedient heart. One person put it this way, you can count the number of apples on a tree, but who can count the apples in a seed? You sow a seed, and the Lord works through that, and it can have a huge impact and change the world. So this morning, we want to stop and give thanks to God that He uses us, that He works through us in the process of taking the gospel to the world, changing the world, and bringing people to Christ. And to look at that, I've asked you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 9. Look at verse 10. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. If it's one thing I've learned about being part of a family, it's this. Joy can be multiplied. And it can be multiplied very easily. You simply include other people in the event. For example, if I went home and gave my wife a bouquet of flowers, she would like it, she would appreciate it, it would be a joyful, joyous occasion. But what if I included the kids? What if I let the kids give mommy flowers that came from daddy? Well, now my gift to her has gone through our children, and we have multiplied that joy. Well, God does the same thing, only bigger and better than flowers. He includes us in giving the gift of salvation to other people. And by bringing us into that event, He multiplies that joy. Could God have gone straight to the hearts of people without going through Billy Graham? Absolutely, He could. It's kind of how He worked with Abraham, wasn't it? He just kind of spoke to Abraham. It's how He worked with Moses. He just kind of spoke to Moses and said, Moses, this is what I want you to do. But by using Billy Graham and Mordecai Ham and Billy Sunday and Dwight Moody and Edward Kimball, God has chosen to work through people. And so He has multiplied the joy. Philippians 2 says, for it is God who works in you to will and to work for His good pleasure. And in the passage we're looking at this morning, we see how God not only worked, but continues to work through us, through people, through His church to reach the world. And if it's the first thing that we notice about this, it's simply that God uses us to meet the physical needs of the people around us. Look back to verse 11. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. That word enrich, you know, in Greek, that word could also be translated to build up or to cause to abound. And he goes on to say, in every way. And so in other words, God will build up or cause a person to abound in any and every way he needs in order to equip them to do what it is he's calling them to do. For some of us, that might mean a gift of teaching, like it did with Edward Kimball teaching Dwight Moody and the effect that that had through time. With others, it might mean that you're blessed financially or intellectually, or you have a gift of wisdom or insight or compassion. It could be anything that God has given you to go out and meet the needs of the people around us. That's why we have these things. It isn't so we just keep them bottled up inside and keep them all to ourselves, but rather to use them to be a blessing to someone else, to go out and meet a need. 1 Timothy 6 says, they are to do good, to be generous, and ready to share. Paul tells us in Romans 12, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. You can kind of think of it like this. A believer is like a bank of blessing. God makes deposits, and he expects that they will be distributed to the world. And it doesn't matter how much he deposits. It could be a penny or a fortune. It could be a little nugget. It could be a gold mine. He deposits it all with the same expectation that we use it to do something good. It kind of makes me think of the story of Elijah and the widow. If you remember, Elijah was hungry and went to a widow and asked her to make him some bread to eat. And the widow said, well, I don't have enough flour and oil to do that. I barely have enough to feed myself and my son, and if I do this, we won't have anything at all. And Elijah says to her in 1 Kings 17, verse 13, do not fear, go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake, and of it bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. The woman saw the need and faithfully met the need. Did you know that God blesses generosity? He does. Absolutely he does. Especially when it's generosity based in faith. Which means the more you bless another person, the more blessing you'll receive. Proverbs 22 says, whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. Or we can remember the parable of the talents and how the three servants each received talents. And what Jesus said to the one who did well in Matthew 25, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. God gives blessing so that we can use it to go and be a blessing to others. There was a rich businessman who every night would pray with his son, and the prayer always went something like this. Lord, bless our missionaries, provide for their needs and the needs of our community. And they prayed this prayer every night for as long as the boy could remember. And finally, one day, the boy looked at his father and said, Dad, can I have your checkbook? And the father was kind of shocked and said, well, son, why do you need my checkbook? And the boy said, well, because if I had your checkbook, I could answer your prayer. If God has blessed you with something, it's to be a blessing to someone else. As Paul writes, to be generous in every way. We here at the church have a new way you can do that. Many of you might not be aware, but our assistance fund committee has recently put a new bulletin board right out there in the foyer. The whole point of that bulletin board is to help you equip you to provide and meet the needs of our church family. And here's how it works. There are 3x5 index cards, and if you have something that you can meet a need with, for example, an excess of some supply or a skill or a service or anything that might bless someone else, you can write that down and post it. And somebody who has that need might come along and say, well, hey, this person can help me out. And in that way, you could meet a need of a person right here in our church. Philippians 4 says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God is in the business of meeting needs. And he includes us. And if you've ever been a part of something where you help someone else, you know how that can be one of the most joyous and most fulfilling things you will ever do. And so God works through us to meet the needs of the people of the world. But we need to remember that when it happens, it's about more than just relieving a physical hardship. It's designed to prompt a spiritual response. Look at verse 13. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them. I read this past week that the average person will come across and meet 80,000 different people in the course of their lifetime. Blew my mind. 80,000 people. That's what every one of us will come across. The question is, do people you meet walk away glorifying God because of that experience? I also read this past week that Gandhi, if you know the story of Mahatma Gandhi, he actually almost became a Christian. And this is how the story goes. When Gandhi was a very young man, he went and stayed with a Christian couple. And he heard their message of salvation and forgiveness and love and mercy and kindness and grace and love and hope. And he liked it. He appreciated it. He respected Christ. And he was going to be a Christian, except he noticed the way they were living and how it didn't match up with what they were saying. And so Gandhi came to a conclusion that either their religion, in his estimation, was being lived out properly and they were model believers and this is what it produced, or, on the other hand, it was so weak and ineffective that it didn't impact their lives at all. But based on what he saw, that's what he concluded. And so Gandhi, in the end, as you know, became a Hindu. As a believer, we represent the kingdom of God, which means how we live and what we do and what we say and how we act, it all reflects on the Lord. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, we are ambassadors for Christ. And so when a person loves another person in the name of God, or serves a person in the name of God, or gives to a person in the name of God, or meets the needs of a person, physical or spiritual, in the name of God, they will glorify God. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Or the way another person put it, selfless giving is God's signature on a life. Has God signed your life? How cool is it to think that because of something you have done, another person will praise the Lord? Your gift, your act of compassion, your act of kindness might be the only thing a person needs to realize that God loves them. And maybe that leads to a relationship with the Lord. And maybe that relationship leads to them sharing with someone else, and that leads to another relationship. And later on, years down the line, you can look back at that chain reaction and realize because of what you did here, millions of people have heard about Christ. Galatians 1 says, and they glorified God because of me. Have them glorify God because of you. Because of you meeting their needs. Did you know that if you went to Disney World, one of the most invested in positions is not Mickey Mouse? It shocked me. You would think he is. He's the star of Disney World. You think Disney, you think Mickey, hand in hand. It makes sense. That's where they would pour their money, is into this person who plays Mickey Mouse. Isn't the case. Mickey Mouse doesn't talk. Mickey Mouse gets almost no training. You know who does? It's the person sweeping the trash in the street. Disney recognizes that there's more of them than there are of Mickey Mouse. And as a guest, if you have a question, who are you most likely to go to? Well, not Mickey. He doesn't even talk. There's a line of people to talk to Mickey. That's pretty threatening. You're more likely to go to the person sweeping the trash to ask where the bathrooms are and the shortest line and where the cheapest drinks are. Disney sees that. And so that person, believe it or not, goes through weeks of training before they're allowed to get into the park. They know more about that park than almost anyone else walking around. Disney knows that they represent the theme park and they want to be represented well. Well, you are a frontline representative of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And when you represent that well, Paul says, they will glorify God because of what you've done. So God works through us to meet physical needs of the people with the intent of producing a spiritual response. And finally, as we close, to grow and unite the body of Christ. Look at verse 14. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. This past week in our nation, we have had two major events. One divided our nation and the other united our nation. On Tuesday, one of the most divisive, nastiest, polarizing presidential elections came to an end. And more than 100 million people cast their vote. And at the end of the day, Donald Trump was elected our 45th president. It was such a divisive result that almost instantly riots broke out on the West Coast. California, Oregon, Washington, cities across the nation are rioting. Things are on fire right now because of how divided our nation was. On the other hand, a few days later on Thursday or Friday, we celebrated Veterans Day. Where we all united, we came together to thank our veterans and their families for the sacrifice and the service that they've provided to keep our nation free and safe. And to be honest with you, after a season of political turmoil, for me, it was nice that we had some common ground. Nice that we could talk about something that didn't split people down the middle. It was nice to come together on something because no matter who anyone voted for, the veterans preserved your right to go do it. Well, when you meet a need of a person in the world, you kind of do the same thing. You unite people around common ground. And it works a couple of ways. First of all, you unite them practically. Suppose you help this person with that and that person with this, and this group over here with something entirely different. They're united. Even if they never meet each other, they have something in common. You. You have come and met all of their needs. Like a wheel with spokes, you would be the center. And out from that are the branches of how you have reached the world with the gospel. Second, they're united spiritually. Notice what Paul says. He says in verse 14, while they long for you and pray for you. Now forget who they're praying for. They're praying. They're talking to the Lord. They're building that relationship. They're giving thanks to God because you met a need. You bridged a gap. You helped a relationship get off the ground. You helped a person make peace with the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. For they shall be called sons of God. When you do the work of meeting a need, which brings a person into thanksgiving with the Lord, you do the work of Christ. Because he met our ultimate need to bring us into thanksgiving in relationship with the Lord. So they're all connected to you because you've met their need. But more importantly, they're connected to God because he gave the provision. They're spiritually united. They're practically united. And when that happens, they give thanks. There was a man who was stuck on his rooftop during a flood, and he prayed, Lord, help me, save me from the water. And the water rose, and a boat came, and the boat said, get in my boat, I'm here to save you. And the man said, no, I have faith, my God will save me. So the boat went away. Well, the waters rose, and the man prayed again, and another boat came and said the same thing. The man said, no, my God will save me. The boat went away. The waters rose. The man prayed again. A helicopter came in, dropped a ladder, and the man said, "No, I'm sorry. I have faith that God will save me." So the helicopter flew away. The waters rose again, and the man died. He got to heaven, and he said, "Lord, I was waiting on you. Where were you?" And God said, "Well, I sent you two boats and a helicopter. I don't know what else you wanted." You see, God could work a million and infinite different ways when He's meeting the needs of people. But He works through us. He could change a heart for Jesus on His own, but He works through us. He could do all of that wondrous work and keep all the joy to Himself, but He doesn't. He works through us. And so this week we stop and we give thanks that in the process of changing hearts and changing minds and dispersing the gift of salvation, that God chose to work through us to change the world. How much can one person do? With the Lord working through that person can change the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you work through us. We thank you, Lord, that you choose to include us in these incredible events where lives are changed and hearts are changed and souls are saved and all of this wondrous activity is going on, and you use us and work through us and include us in that and multiply the joy. Lord, we pray that you would work through us, that every person here would be a vessel for your grace and your mercy into the world. We pray that you would give us opportunity to do that very thing, that you would give us boldness and compassion, that you would give us urgency and conviction to go out and meet needs of people around us, whatever that need may be that we're equipped to meet, that we would have the opportunity and we would have the courage to meet it. We pray, Lord, that as we close this service, you would be with us, that you would encourage us and uplift us and edify us. And once more, we give you thanks for all that you do through us. In Jesus' name, amen.